Hi, welcome to GamerCast, episode 150, the special edition, and we have no guests. I am one of your hosts, Adam, and this is Paul.
Howdy.
And it's Sunday,
the 29th. Which means it's GamerCast Day.
Last day of March, soon to be April. We lost a day yesterday. Woke up, and before you knew it, it was near lunchtime. I'm like, oh my god, where's the day gone?
You woke up at lunchtime. You lazy git.
No, I woke up in the morning, but...
In the morning.
9 o'clock. Half nine.
Eastern Daylight Time.
I went and had a cup of tea on the couch, and I was watching Ray Mears in the bush thing.
I went to work today. I lost an hour in bed. Yeah. I want my hour. This is the trouble. I'm going to have to make sure I die after, like, October, so I get my hour back.
Damn you! That extra hour.
Yeah, so again, I'll do my normal standard. Stop messing about with the goddamn clocks. It's easier, especially in the UK, where we're on the Greenwich Meridian, to just leave us on UTC, for Christ's sake. It does my head in. Because now, I run my servers differently. So my web server, for example, runs on UTC. But now, my email servers have all gone to BST, because obviously, you know, you need the time on the email. And it's like... Actually, I might change that so they all run on UTC.
Question.
But then it'll probably affect my calendar and I'll have to manually convert.
Are we in real time or are we in the non-real time?
This is the bollocks up time.
This is the bollocks up time.
Yes, the bollocks time.
So it should be 8 o'clock, coming up to 8 o'clock instead of coming up to 7 o'clock.
No, it's coming up to 10 to 6.
Right.
Because it's we went an hour ahead.
Okay.
Oh, but it's better than it used to be. I went downstairs this morning. My dad was goofing around with his phone. He's like, oh, I changed the time on this thing. And of course, all my stuff, the time changes automatically.
This is where I'm confused, right? You had to change the clock in the kitchen. I had to change my watch. So I don't wear a digital watch. Phone automatically changed.
Dude, doesn't your watch poll the internet to get the time?
No, it's got a very strong firewall, being the James Bond watch. Needs all
the
extra.
Dude, I'm going to hack your watch. Now Adam's going to be 10 minutes late for work.
So watch I had to change. No bother with that. Went to the laptop one, isn't affected, that'll change automatically. I thought, I better check the Xbox and PlayStation 3. Went on the PlayStation.
Xbox gets the time from the internet.
Yeah, so that hadn't changed. That was still the same time. And I went to the settings and said, you're unable to change the time while you're logged in on live. It does it automatically. I was like, right, so this is getting the time from somewhere that isn't UK and hasn't updated yet.
No, it's probably because you've got your Xbox set to bloody Baghdad or somewhere.
Yeah, I might have to go in and change it. So, yeah, I left that. PlayStation 3 did need updating. Although it was set to British Standard Time, I think. So, no, I don't know what went wrong there. But apart from that, everything else was fine.
We call bollocks up time officially British Summer Time.
Yeah. British Summer
Which time. Is plus 1 hour.
Which was originally
UTC.
Done so that people are socially up and about.
Oh, there's lots of different.
More in the time. So there's more
there's
working
lots of,
light.
Dude, there's lots of different rumours about why it was done. It's a load of bollocks.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of crap there. I want to get rid of it.
You want one of those keyboard hoovers so you can...
I do, it's over there, but...
Oh, you've got one.
It's a bit much to...
Cool.
Get it all out on the show and start, you know...
I saw a really weird thing. I was in... went over to Maplin's to look at some wiring stuff for... And look at some PCB boxes for my PCB for my arcade fight stick. Which is started production.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, you were going to use that Xbox thing, weren't you? Oh, crap, I forgot to find out what happened to it.
Yeah. Well, the box is still up there in design, but I've sent off the parts, so I've ended up ordering...
Hang on, let me put this on the show notes. First item, whinge about British Summertime.
Yeah.
Spelled whinge right. Whinge about BST, Adam's fight stick. Hoorah!
Yeah, so... I've ordered Sanwa.
I've ordered myself a leprechaun.
So I've got a red topped Sanwa stick, the cable for it, because it's got a 5-pin cable. Do you have a t-shirt?
No. He doesn't play a guitar. He's a drummer.
But yeah.
Your t-shirt is obviously fake.
And so it's fake, got a 5-pin wire so I can wire that into the chocolate box.
Is this why you wanted a wired Xbox 360 controller?
Yes, because if I go wireless, which I could, which means I've got a wireless fight stick.
Yeah, it's more hassle, isn't it?
I've got to make a way to be able to get in with ease to change the batteries. Or the fact it's got a plain charge kit. But if I've got the plain charge kit, I've got to have that port outside so I can plug the plain charge cable in. But I've also got to have access to the sync button, so if I ever took it somewhere else...
Yeah, just do it wired, mate.
Exactly. It just seemed like a lot of hassle. That's a lot of buttons I'd have to maybe rewire. Fair enough, if I wanted to go crazy, I could rewire them up, you know, mold up some plastic to put it in. I haven't got the time to do that. I just want it USB. I must admit, the Xbox 360 USB controllers are very, very nice for the amount of cable they give you. They're very generous.
Yes.
So,
well, that was one of the big marketing pitches they did on the launch of the original Xbox. They said instead of Sony's, whatever it is, 6-foot cable, they give you 9-foot.
Yeah, which is enough. I've got enough space with my Sony cable to play plugged in on the couch, and I've got to sit right on the edge of the couch. Now, our couch is a pull-out bed, so it's got a metal frame in there, and I have to have my arms left. By the end of it, my arms are numb and my ass is numb from leaning on the end. I normally have to go sit in the fat boy. So, I must admit, I did cheat. I do have a USB extension cable, so I just plugged that in, and I had my...
That's cheating, Adam.
...extra bit of footage, which obviously would work for my Xbox as well. But anyway, I digress. So, I've ordered up my buttons. I've gone for all coloured red. Apart from the back and select... The start and back button, I've gone for red as well, but I've gone from a 30mm button. I think it's 30... Might be 30 millimeters. Yeah. 30 millimeters, it's got some at 30, down to a 24. So,
Dude, here we pads. Go. What you do, you get a Guitar Hero drum pad set, get two of them,
wire
them up to be your buttons, and then just have this giant stick.
Yeah. Like,
that'll be like legend. It'll be like this huge, you know, 3-foot long controller with these drum pads on.
But you'd have to put it on the floor.
No, you
put it on the floor so you could stand on it. You'd have to have it on the floor.
You'd have it mounted, dude.
It'd be like
Big. You have it mounted and you go...
Have you ever seen Big where he's got that keyboard and he's playing on the piano and you...
No, dude, we don't want that.
Oh, that'd be cool. But anyway, yeah, I've got smaller ones.
That flipping fortune teller Jesus Christ dude in a box freaked me out.
Yeah. Especially at the age you watch that, it's quite freaky.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've gone for smaller buttons for the start and select, which I'm going to put on the end. And I've got the same button but in green for the home button. For the Microsoft guide button.
What was that dude called? It was like the Incredible Zoltan or something.
Yeah, Zoltan or something like
Zoltan,
that.
Zoltan, yeah, something like that.
But, yeah, so I've got all the parts for that, so I just need the PCB, and I've went into Maplin's because they've got PCB boxes for me to put the chipboard from the controller in. But also they do these really big ones, which I'm looking at the idea of actually using for the casing for the fight stick. Now, they had one there, but it was only 30 centimetres wide, you know, less than 30 centimetres. So
yeah, you want something bigger than that.
Yeah, so the ones that they do
you
have...
You want something you can put on your lap.
They have one that's about that wide. It's around about 36 centimetres wide, which would seem plenty of depth. But the only problem was it was only 10 centimetres in depth, which...
That's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got to wait and see what the joystick and how much space below I've got. If I've got, then I can go order it. And all
yeah,
I've got
the joystick won't be that big.
Yeah, so what I will do is I'll cut the top off and screw on a piece of Perspex so it allows me to get the artwork underneath and lock everything from underneath because I want to hide the screws. And then once I've got it all fitted, I will strip it back down into pieces again and take the aluminium because it's an aluminium PCB box, which is quite nice instead of plastic. And then I'm going to get that spray painted.
Adam's not being cheap with this.
No. So yeah, pretty cool. So
right, so everyone who doesn't know what he's talking about, because apparently for some reason, last week's episode wasn't up on iTunes, and so about 20% of our listeners who would normally listen apparently didn't listen. That's according to my sources. Right. So yeah, I don't know what the deal with that is. So thanks a lot, Apple, for trying to filter my content. Who was that Bob Mann who said that? I don't know. Somebody told me it wasn't up on there. I can't remember who. So yeah, Adam's building his little like fight stick for Street Fighter.
If you're not unsure what a fight stick is, it's basically
a big joypad.
Yeah, it's the arcade buttons and
yeah,
and
it's just like you know those arcade you know It's like back in the olden days, you always had these big controllers for like beat 'em ups with like an arcade sort of layout.
I completely forgot, and I forgot to mention this. I still actually own my original fight stick that I had as a kid.
Why don't you just rewire that?
It's an antique, but it's only got two buttons.
Yeah, but you can take it onto the Antiques Roadshow and say, look at this!
Well, the case,
it's been reworked!
The PCB's no good. The only thing I could take is the stick, but I wanted a nicer stick anyway, so there isn't anything I can actually
get. Is this the Nintendo one?
Yes, for the NES. Yeah. So it's only two buttons.
The joystick wasn't very big, was it?
It's not the official one, though. It's like a third-party one, and it had a really
That's
big
That's not worth anything. Don't take that onto the Antiques Roadshow.
No.
Dude, I'm telling you, don't take it. They'll laugh at you.
Yeah.
I say, who's this noob? That ain't an antique. You little nerd. Go back and play your video games.
It's good. It's good joystick, though. I got it from... Do you remember in town where they had the computer shop that was near Tesco's?
Yep.
I bought it from there.
Has anyone worked out what it was called yet?
I think it was actually called the computer shop. Because it was the guy owned
two. We had a fairly big... I don't know if it was you I was discussing it with. We had a big discussion about it somewhere.
But I found out the guy who owned it owned two of them. He had two of the shops. One was in Yeovil and the other one was in Street. And after the one in Yeovil closed down, when I was in the one in Street looking at, they had imported Game Boy Advance games. Well, it was just after the Game Boy Advance came out. So I was looking at Japanese games and stuff like that. And
oh my god, that was like ages ago.
Yeah, and the guy said, oh yeah, I just work here, but the owner's closed that one up and he's intending to close this one up eventually. And he's just like made a load of money, he's bought a yacht, and he's just going to go off and sail around the world. So he doesn't want the shops anymore. Unfortunately, they closed down. I did find out that there is another video game, privately owned video game store in Street, in the little shopping centre they got there.
I've not been to Street in years.
I haven't either. It's kind of a bit run down place, but it was nice to actually see somewhere that wasn't a chain store.
Well, yeah, is that, what is it, Clark's and all that?
Yeah, Clark's Village is all in there.
The manufacturing is not there anymore, is it?
No, it hadn't been there for a long time. But it was the original factory. It's just been redone into like a history place, and then it's just the factory shops.
Instead of producing shoes, they now produce history.
Yes, history for your feet.
Anyway, let's get on with our letters.
Yeah,
because Jesus Christ, we're 12 minutes in and we haven't even discussed the letters yet. A couple of messages from Mr. Bob Mann. He says, "Awesome show. Not had much time to listen to the show as I'm moving again. I think your mic has an intermittent echo." I don't know. What do you think?
Maybe it's that good. It's the sound bouncing around this room and coming back to the mic again. Maybe it's just too good.
No, because it only happens sometimes. And it seems to be when I'm involved somehow.
Strange.
So I might want to check that out. Although he says it is funny. Yeah, I agree. It is funny, isn't it? Here we go. I noticed that iTunes hasn't got the latest show. Yeah, it was Bob Mann who told me. So, I don't know, man. Dude, do you subscribe to Gamercast on your iTunes?
No, because
why not? Smack!
If I listen to the show just to check something out in like a conversation at work, I'll listen to it straight off my iPhone. Because the iTunes on the iPhone has got podcast search now, so I can just find it on there.
Yeah, but check on your iPhone if it's on there. Surely it's all on the same back end, isn't it?
Mm. I can check now if you want.
Yeah, go on.
Right. iTunes.
See, this is a trouble when we let Apple control 20% of our downloads. They are, they can screw you over.
Okay, and...
I hate that noise.
Yeah, it winds Gary up at work somewhat chronic.
Can you change the noise on it?
No, but you can turn it off.
We can change it to quack, 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 quack.
Right, we've got here episode 147, episode 148. So episode 149 is not been put on there.
Boo!
For some strange reason.
Oh my god, something's wrong, dude. My speakers are off. Let's turn them on. Because that way I can play my little sound clip.
Quack, quack.
Oh, I got a sound clip. I was looking at a piece of software. I don't even know if I've been over this once. I might be repeating myself.
You probably are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it before.
Yeah.
That's those damn Murlocs.
Damn, Murlocs. Right, put my iPhone away before I start playing with things. And
yeah, the trouble is, when you get something like that out, you look down at it, and nobody can hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
You have to direct your voice. And you have to use your iPhone like this.
My iPhone.
So yeah, what the hell, Apple? What's the deal, anyway?
Yeah, maybe. Did we say anything in there that would make them pull the episode?
They're not even going to check stuff like that, are they?
No.
Bobman goes on to say, the second generation iPod Touch. He calls it the iTouch. Boo. It's the iPod Touch.
Sounds like something that you'd use to poke yourself in the
eye. I couldn't care less if Logitech had the name first. Did they have the name first? Surely they don't.
Yeah, there was something about it. And,
this is something Adam came up with. Okay.
They bought him out.
So yeah, he's a... Dude, what was that?
That was the text message.
Nothing I have makes that noise. Put it away. Dude, I ain't going to tell you again. Put it away. I don't want to see it.
Okay.
So yeah, this is basically Bobman talks a bit about his jailbroken iPhone and all this sort of stuff, in that they've had hacked copy and paste, and that you can run applications in the background, which you can't do on the proper one if you're using a third party app, because it
shuts down when you
it saves the state to disk and then reopens it.
Yeah.
I've been reading running applications in the background. For example, Instant Messenger app will still receive messages while you have the app closed. Well, not closed, in the background. No biggie. But for me, I know a few people who would love to have their battery juice used up by an IM app constantly polling IM networks. I'm about to break mine now. Later. Okay, that's interesting, because I actually have lots of things polling on my phone. I've got Live Mesh running. I quite frequently have Messenger running on it. I've got Exchange on it. Hmm. It doesn't dent the battery. I mean, granted, I'm in a GPRS zone, not like a 3G zone, so I'm not using as much battery from that point of view, but you know, I don't really think all this polling stuff really uses that much battery, to be honest. Because, I mean, let's see how many apps I've got running at the moment. Yeah, I've got 4 things running at the moment, one of which is network connected. That's excluding ActiveSync, which is doing its stuff.
Well, I just brought my iPod back into life, because I've stopped using my iPod for a while, because transferring all my...
Is this your, like, second-gen Brico iPod?
Yeah, the older one that I had, with the clicky wheel. It's the last classic... known as the classic iPod.
That's what they call it now.
80-gig one. And it was still called that when I bought it, the classic one. But it's the one just before they went to the matte front, where it's got the solid-state hard drive in.
Mm-hmm.
Where everything before had the shiny front and it's got the standard hard drive in. So it's the last one before that, but it was a replacement for the one that got nicked. But I stopped using it because I've dumped all the music off, because I had to sync it to iTunes on my Mac, because I had loads of new songs on there that I wanted for going snowboarding, and I didn't want to go snowboarding on my iPhone.
No.
But now I've removed all the songs off my PC and are now on my hard drive, and I just haven't put them on yet. So I've stopped using my iPod because all those songs, because it's not that many, but songs I listen to, are on my iPhone. So I've been using my iPhone. But now I've managed to get a good piece of software for ripping DVDs, and it tells you what format of device
I
you
use.
Want to rip
I use a piece of software. Well, it's a collection of bits of software, because it's separate encoders and everything, called DVD2 WMV. It's really nice.
I got this 4 Media something or other, and it's...
Is this Moneyware?
Yeah, you had to pay
very
odd quid for it.
Freewares!
I didn't pay for it, but...
In Windows world, we don't pay for software, we BitTorrent it. Photoshop? Everyone's got Photoshop, but yeah. Somehow Adobe only sells 5 copies of it.
But,
not me, though. I use PaintShop.
So I've spent all day converting Star Wars into MP4 iPod ratio, so I can have them on my iPod. I won't actually watch them at work, but I've seen the film so many times I don't actually look at the screen, so I just put the iPod to one side and I can listen to the music, the movie. Which is like when I was at uni, I would always have a DVD on playing, and I couldn't even actually see my TV where I was sat in my room.
But you're just listening to it. Yeah. Because you know what it is in your head anyway.
Yeah, you've seen it 1,000 times, so you have all your favourite movies, and it means you can get on. I'm used to being able to surf the internet, animate.
Surf the internet? What is this, 1990s? I'm going to surf on the information superhighway.
The interweb.
Yeah, we just call it the intertubes now.
The intertubes. Nah, that just sounds bad. Let me look at your intertubes. I'll just cut you open. Woo!
Speaking of the intertubes.
The intertubes.
As we say in America. Internet Explorer 8 has been out for just over a week now. And it's crept up past 3% market share. So that's quite good.
You still pleased with it?
It works. I mean, well, this is, you know, Windows 7. This is a beta of Windows 7. So, you know, my version is unfortunately majorly out of date.
Mm. But you can't go updating to the new one while you're running Windows 7.
Not until later. I get... The release candidate of Windows 7 will probably have the latest build.
Right, here's the big question. Let's go back onto this. When is Windows 7 most likely going to be out? Do they have an estimate?
This year.
It's going to be this year.
Or maybe next year.
It's end of this year, maybe rolling into next year.
Nerd brain, and anyone with more than two brain cells knows it's going to be this year, because they're not going to miss the September going back to school thing, because they want to nail that. Especially with netbook sales, obviously. But the really annoying thing is, the release calendar is now rumoured to be May, which actually is a month later than what I was expecting. And if they're going to go on like a 4-month release cycle to RTM, that leaves it very late, because you really want the OEMs to have it by July.
Mm.
So, you know, we have the beta version was released in January. If we have, you know, that's 4 months. So they'd have to ratchet up the speed of it, I think.
How are you getting on with your notebook? Your pocketbook thing?
The netbook.
Netbook.
The Dell Mini 9 netbook, which is running Windows 7 build whatever it is. Well, yeah, it works fine. There it is.
My dad's been looking at netbooks, but he's been thinking that it might be too small for what he wants. My dad's looking at working out in Abu Dhabi again, and he wants to take his laptop's really old. It's pre XP. He had it the same time as my old Dell.
Oh dear.
So he's never had a reason to buy a new one. So he's looking at getting one, but he's gone away from having a netbook just for the fact there's no.
My battery's going to die in a second.
There's no CD-ROM. But he would be taking this all out to Abu Dhabi. Well, he doesn't want to carry much.
What's his budget?
Well, that's the thing.
What about like a 13-inch laptop?
That's what he's looking at. I told him to go up.
There's the what is it? What are they called? ThinkPads. There's a ThinkPad X303 or 301 or something, which is like really it's a mini laptop. It's got a CD-ROM drive built in, which a lot of them in the same class don't. Mm. So you might want to have a look at that. And it's actually quite thin as well.
He was looking at an Acer, but I don't know. How do you feel about Acers?
Acer. I've never used one, but the Acer netbooks are, shall we say, low-end.
Yeah. What about an Acer laptop?
You know, a notebook. I haven't used one, so...
My dad's looking at it, and I'm just like, oh, Dad is just a little bit... Fair enough, he's looking at that. He's also considering getting a MacBook.
Because that's a bit pricey, though, isn't it?
I mean,
1 minute he's talking about a netbook, and then he's talking about something 8 times more expensive.
Yeah. So he was looking at like the £700 one.
That's not a proper MacBook. That's a junk book.
The standard MacBook, not like mine, the MacBook Pro. But that's the thing. At the end of the day, my MacBook Pro is my main computer. Where my dad has a high-end Dell at home, he just wants something for a while.
Yeah, but if he's going to be out there for a while.
He wants to be able to watch movies, maybe listen to
music. How long
is he going to
be out there for?
Maybe a year or two.
Yeah, he wants something decent then, doesn't he? He don't want something that's going to pack up after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I would, if he wants, like I said, the 13-inch screen, I'd be have a look at the ThinkPad X300 or whatever it is.
We'll talk about that after the show and make a list or something.
Yeah, so let's go back on topic now.
Yeah.
And mention a bit about... The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, finally another Legend of Zelda's
back. Zelda.
Unfortunately, it's not for the Wii. It's for the
Nintendo
DS.
Nintendo.
Just go to the where you keep that link that we found.
Aye, there's the link up and down. See, in Windows we have this thing called a browser, and we can scroll up and down to stop Adam from reading it.
I'm gonna be sick.
You're gonna be sick. See, that's the trouble. You're used to your bad latency Macintosh. Instantaneous.
I can do that with mine. Two fingers, do that.
Yeah, and then you hurt your fingers.
Yeah.
I've got a wheel, boy. A wheel.
Will Spirit Track be compatible with my DS? This has been a big issue for many, after seeing the trailer on a DSi.
Basically, it's got a load of DSi-specific features. And people want to know, does it still work on the old DS? The answer is yes, it does.
If it wasn't, if they were not going to go down this pathway, they would have made the DSi a completely different console. So it would have been using a different cartridge, different graphics, and would have had the DS standard slot probably at the bottom to play backwards compatibility. But this runs off the same game. So if it plays all your old games, then it's a guarantee that it probably plays
backwards. A DS is a DS.
Yeah. It proven time and time again that, you know, when you went from Game Boy Advance to SP, nothing changed. It was just the hardware. They're not going to stop. They'll shoot themselves in the foot if they did this. Now, when they went from SP to DS, you could bring your games across with you because they allowed that
Game Boy,
you know, compatibility. But obviously, you couldn't put DS games on a Game Boy. But that was a complete.
It's called computing.
Where
this is how things work.
This is the same console. It's just been upgraded.
It's the same console with a bunch of
stuff. You'll find now that there's going to be games coming out that will have features. Now, at the end of the day, they may bring out one game, which will only run on the DSi, maybe later on, because it is purely about the features that are just on there with the cameras and stuff. But to be honest, a lot of the games, it will probably be just a feature that you gain with the DSi, but you lose with the DS, and you're not going to.
Whoa, Adam, that is a really long-winded way of saying what I said in one sentence.
Exactly. I can long-wind anything.
Well, at least you're padding the show out, because yeah. We ain't got nothing else to talk about. Apart from Max Payne 3, out later this year.
I'm quite surprised they've come back to it. Is this going to be a PlayStation 3 only title? No,
PC, PS3, Xbox 360.
I'm not surprised considering the fact that there was a Max Payne movie out, so obviously once that's...
Really?
Yeah.
When's that coming out?
It's been out.
Has it?
It's been come and gone. And
so it wasn't that good then?
I didn't go see it. Some people said they liked it, some people said they didn't. A lot of symbolism in there.
Meh, I like Starship Troopers. I still know it's a shit film though.
Have you seen the new trailer for the new Star Trek movie?
Which one?
This one is the latest trailer that was out. And
is that number 3?
Yeah, it might be. But yeah
I've seen up until 3, I think.
It's.
Although I still think the first trailer is the best.
Yeah, where it's just showing them working on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the best one.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I'm kind of hope. I must admit, this is off topic, but I want to.
It's a bit too actiony though, by the look of it. I mean, it's Star Trek, not flipping.
Yeah, but at the end of the day. Myself doing film studies, now I've got into the whole idea, never ever trust a trailer, because half the time you're either going to show you all the best bits, so don't bother going and seeing the film,
all the actiony bits,
or they've got all the action,
all the lame bits,
and some they put them together in such a way that what you think the film's going to be about, it's not actually about, because they just let some film student learner bloke with a load of footage and said, go make us a trailer, we're still making the film. So I must admit, I look at trailers, but sometimes I try not to.
I'm putting Star Trek on the show notes.
Sometimes I try not to look at the trailers. So, just for that aspect.
I don't normally watch trailers.
I got to go see this film for myself. The only thing that makes me kind of happy is the fact that so many of the rules for Star Trek, which were created from the original TV series, have been thrown out the window. They've kept a few things like the uniforms and stuff like that, maybe a few colours. But bar that, technology and the way everything looks has been kind of made right. It's the future. We've got starships, so we will make it look futuristic to a point without having to try and keep it close to the original.
Back in the 60s, Star Trek looked modern. It looked, you know, futuristic. You know, you had a table and it had TV screens in it.
Yeah,
these big chunky tables.
Yeah. So
they need to move on with the technology that we've got, aka flat panels. We wouldn't have like 6-inch thick tricorders and flip out communicators.
At the end of the day, what it's allowed to do is throw away a lot of the rule bases, which I think was probably the death of the TV series Enterprise, because they were always fighting. I always felt like there was a fight between the original and that, because they couldn't go too far forward because of you had to match. And fans would get complaining and stuff. And you always saw with Voyager and DS9 and...
DS9, for the win.
It's
Next Generation,
always,
for the win.
They were always pushing the technology and always putting something new and cool in. Doing this means that they could probably go back and do...
Enterprise is a Warp 5 engine.
They could go back and make a new TV series that's based off the movie, and they can start again. It can move on.
You know what? I think that's actually a better idea, because it's right near the start of the Federation, which is good. The Federation's been founded. There's, like, well, I don't know how many... It'll be... I don't know how many planets. It'll only be, like, a dozen or so planets at the most, and it would be very, you know, fragile, all this sort of stuff. And it's not got, like, in The Next Generation, where the United Federation of Planets is now 200-odd worlds strong, and the Federation organization is so strong that they can just pwn everyone.
You don't have to follow the rules. You can say to yourself, this is just Star Trek again. We're starting from the beginning, we're doing it a different way, we're basing it on the original. You know, in this one, Picard will never exist. DS9 will never exist, because we're not going to go that way. We've done that. We don't have to remake it. It is just start on and carry on Star Trek.
But we're talking about Max Payne.
Okay. So what features are in Max Payne?
I don't know. Did you like Max Payne?
I never got it. But
I didn't get Max Payne 2. I did get Max Payne 1, and I did actually complete it.
Yeah.
Although I did put the cheats on, because I got bored halfway through.
Mm.
And I just thought, yeah, this is an interesting story. I want to see how it ends. So cheats on, blah, 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 and rush through it. So, yeah, I mean, I assume it's still going to have bullet time and all that sort of stuff.
Another piece of news. It's Eidos that holds the rights for Lara, isn't it?
For Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think anyone's acquired it yet.
It's been given the go-ahead for the takeover by Square Enix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that buying the license or taking Eidos over?
I think it's taking Eidos over.
Good, because Eidos haven't done anything decent in years.
Yeah, so that should be quite good. Bit interesting.
Yeah, Square Enix have been on the offensive a bit, haven't they?
Mm.
They need to do something because their home market is struggling. So what's this Square Enix... what shall I say? Suck up to Eidos?
In bed with Eidos.
I'm not putting that on the show notes, otherwise iTunes will definitely ban us. Square Enix, has this definitely happened?
I don't know, I just saw a clip of it.
Alright, I'm not going to put it on the show notes, because this is just Adam's conjecture.
Yeah, I got to look into it a bit more.
He saw something about it.
On that business
website. So instead, let's talk a bit about zombies.
Yeah, zombies.
Dead Rising, there's Dead Rising on the Wii, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is out.
It's Try and Find Zombies.
The game is basically about trying to find a zombie so you can hit it with something.
Yeah.
However, back on the real world, where we have modern computers and fast GPUs, Dead Rising 2 is aiming to have 6,000 on-screen zombies at a time.
Now, they got away with this last time because of the fact of things rendering into perspective when you're in open areas. But then because you're in a mall... It was a very jaggedy walk around a corner. You were in a shop. You could only see so far, so you could only feel so many zombies.
In Dead Rising, to get the most zombies, you'd have to go down into the underground bit.
Yeah, and you would get quite a lot.
Where it was just packed out with zombies, and you could just drive through them all.
But I mentioned with this one, because they're basing it off a kind of a Vegas sort of thing, you're going to have large open areas. You're going to have the mall outside. I'm presuming it's not going to be just stuck in one hotel. So, I must admit, we're looking at a screenshot here of a guy on a motocross bike knocking out zombies. So, I'm looking forward to this. I must admit, I really need to go back and get the other one.
Like Dead Rising.
I never completed it.
I completed it until they threw another 24 hours at you. And then I thought, oh God, because the game really started getting really hard later on.
I got stuck on one bit. And
it was just doing my nut in.
I got fed up of just dying and having to redo this one bit over and over again. So I spent half the time, I unlocked as far as I could, and then spent the rest of the time just going around. And I found this really cool antique shop that I keep going back to, where I could get samurai swords and battle axes and just go around hacking away. But unfortunately, just as I was getting really into it, that's because I bought it off Gary. He didn't want it anymore, so I bought it off him for a tenner. And unfortunately, that was one of the games that went with the Xbox, and I didn't get replaced, so... never got back to buying it. I got to think about maybe picking up a copy sometime.
Have I got a copy of it, or did I just borrow it? No, I'm sure I bought it.
But yeah.
Because it was, yeah, I bought it when it was fairly cheap.
I think the other thing that I really didn't get on with it was the TV that we had at the time was really tiny, And I always found that the text for what people were saying, telling you missions and stuff, was really small for the size of the screen. So I find it really hard to read, where on our 40-inch, it'll be big enough for me to actually read what the hell they're saying. And because a lot of the missions were not voice, because it was off that message thing. You know, you're kind of like, I was getting lost on what the hell I had to do and stuff. So, yeah, great game.
That's the trouble with a lot of the high def games, is they have, in standard definition, they have really teeny tiny text.
Yeah, because obviously
because they don't bother doing two sets of text, right? They just have the one set and then downscale it for.
But for an open end game in a sandbox sort of thing, even with, you forget about the zombie sort of thing, the idea of playing through the storylines, and when you get to the end, you play the game through again, and you go through another storyline, is an interesting way of having.
Quack.
The game. I must admit, like, when you play Grand Theft Auto, different type of thing.
I really want to get back to playing that.
I must admit, I'm still playing Lost and.
Lost in the Damned.
It's good. I'm.
Really, I like my motorcycle gang.
It is really good. I think it's taken away some of the aspect which I couldn't get on with the other game. But if they could do this again, if they could go right, another year by, and they go, yeah, we're just going to release another one off the same engine. Because at the end of the day, for them to produce the other games that are not a sequel. Like when you had Grand Theft Auto 3, and then you
Grand Theft Auto 3.
San Andreas. And what was the second one that was out? That's the third one, and the second one was
GTA 3, GTA Vice City.
Yeah.
And San Andreas.
No, fair enough.
And then you had Liberty City Stories. You also had what was it? What do they call it?
Vice City Stories.
Yeah.
But they were all running off the same engine. Fair enough, it had been tweaked, it had been upgraded a little bit, but it was pretty much the same engine.
It was, they just redone the content.
Yeah, so, and added new features in, which is the same with this one. So it's the idea of, it's nicer to be able to get those sequels until they finally go, right, okay, either we're
what
just...
What you do is you develop a technology, you do several minor updates to it, and then you do another big release.
Yeah. So
a new generation of
Grand
consoles,
Theft Auto
with new
5
graphics.
Probably may come out on the next gen console, but until then, we probably will get some nice short stories coming out. They're only like £13 off download, and it'll be great. And I must admit, it's
Grand Theft Auto.
The fact that a lot of people have unlocked all the islands allows them to not make you have to start from the beginning again. You can just open up and you're looking at things from a different perspective on the same content, which is nice. It must be really cool if they did release one where you were playing a cop.
I'll tell you what.
Maybe a bent cop, but you know what I mean, you know.
That'd be quite good. You could do the policeman job for a bit.
Yeah.
Where you just patrol the streets and then you see something happen. They couldn't do it too often.
Because I like the vigilante mode that you had in number 3. I've not tried to see if there is a vigilante mode in this one by getting in a cop car. But, yeah, having that sort of thing where you're having to take them down, but at the other side of the thing, you're... Maybe they had it where you could come back to more of the lore, or you could go down and you would end up being on the run.
You know what would be even better?
What?
If when you play a policeman, you're playing as Robocop. I'm serious, dude!
There's a mod. Mod for the PC version.
Grand Theft Auto Robocop. No, they should call it Grand Theft Auto. Robocop, where was that set? Detroit?
Yeah,
or
Detroit.
Boston? Yeah,
it was Detroit.
Grand Theft Auto, Detroit.
See, that's the thing. There are so many good games out there that can so be transferred to the sandbox idea.
You can either help OCP or hinder OCP.
I must admit, that would probably make quite a good... especially with the shooting system, it would be quite cool to have Robocop. Fair enough, the whole thing's about the cars and, you know, walking around and be really slow.
Robocop can get in a car.
But that would
That's why
it,
you play as Robocop in Ed 209.
It would be cool to be able to... You'd need the whole getting in the car all the time.
Is
otherwise,
it Ed 209 or is it Ed 109?
Ed
209. 209, yeah.
Yeah.
Good, I was thinking, is it 209?
I must admit, I always thought it'd be really cool if they had a film where it was reprogrammed and it was kind of like Robocop's sidekick. And no matter what it wanted to do, it would always follow orders from Robocop only. Sort of thing. That would have been so cool.
That would actually be quite good, wouldn't it? Because you could see Robocop in a situation like, you know, all these kids are goofing around.
Yeah.
And Robocop's telling them off, like in was it number 3 when they reprogrammed him?
Yeah.
And he was being really nice to everyone, and then Ed 209 just busts in and blows everyone away.
It would be quite cool.
Yeah.
That's his ultimate backup. You know, stuff the girl. You don't need the girl anymore. It would just be, you know, RoboCop comes in and they're like, no, 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 no. We've got rocket launcher and we're wearing bulletproof armor. You can't get us. And Ed 209 just doesn't bust the door down. He literally comes through the wall and all that's left is the door standing with his arm with this machine gun. And it's like, you have 3 seconds to drop your gun. 1, 3.
Yeah, that's a bit deceptive, really, isn't it? He's a bad robot.
Yeah. I really need to get that. Mental note, get hold of a copy of RoboCop.
Have I got RoboCop?
I've got RoboCop 1 on VHS. That's probably my only copy. But, yeah, that's a great, great film. I love the way that you get the advertisement to try and show how the world is.
That really makes it a lot more in-depth. It's like the news segments in Starship Troopers.
Because it's done by the same people. Same guy who did RoboCop did Starship Troopers.
Ah.
That's why you've got this whole the kind of interweb sort of instead of TV where it's like serial killer is tried and going to be executed tonight. Click here to see more. And it was that whole trying to show how it's his way of you understand the content if you understand the society that created the content.
Exactly. It makes you understand the you know what things are like more, which is good.
And actually that's a good point of why I like Grand Theft Auto. The advertisements and stuff like that is kind of like showing how the city is all screwed up and crime is all happening all over the place. And having those stupid adverts and stuff like that, I think it's good to have comical in-game advertisements. That's not advertising any real product. You're advertising a video game product. And we are all used to having advertisements thrown in front of us all day.
In Soviet Union, no have advertisement.
Did they have advertisement in Soviet Union?
Not in the sense of big posters and crap on television, no.
Really? But, I think it'd be interesting for more video games if they're in a sort of...
What do you need advertisements for? If people need something, they just buy it.
Yeah.
They're not trying to sell it and make loads of money and then push wages down and screw all the workers.
Yeah.
Unlike some countries. Great Britain. No, they had big posters of Gorbachev with Perestroika, and this is the plan that's going on at the moment, Perestroika, okay? This is what the poster says.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm going to put this on the show notes. It's Grand Theft Auto RoboCop, because I think that would draw some attention.
I honestly think there is some really
RoboCop
good,
mod.
Really good content of
RoboCop.
Films or already made games that would really do a good rehash into a sandbox game. Look at Spider-Man. Spider-Man has always been a side-scrolling action game. And then they made it three-dimensional. Then Spider-Man 2 came out on the PlayStation 2, and it was a sandbox game. And it's probably been the best Spider-Man game out. And all of them since then have always been sandbox games. A few of late
Dude,
weren't.
Dude, I don't have a sandbox. Can I play this game?
Yeah. Comes with sandbox.
Dude, I don't have a spade. Can I still play this game?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't have a sandcastle. Can I still play this game?
You can make a sandcastle.
Right. So obviously, as this is our 150th episode,
mm-hmm.
not counting a few retakes and things like that.
Yeah.
I thought that I would totally hammer on something and have a massive moan at it.
Okay.
You've seen all the on live stuff, yeah?
I saw an advertisement for something I was having to flick through, but let's alliterate because I'll play.
All right.
Dumb
well,
here.
at the Game Developers Conference this week, which we haven't talked about at all.
No.
But never mind. So there's this on live thing. I'm sure we've talked about this before.
We may have.
Yeah. Do you remember what it is?
Looks familiar.
Yeah. Basically, it's a little box and. The games are played in the cloud and your control movements are just synced back to the cloud. Cloud renders it, synced back to your screen.
Okay.
Alright, so at GDC this week, or last week, whatever it was, Friday, Thursday, I don't know what day it was, they were showing Crysis being played with this technology.
Mm.
So they were using... Crysis was being rendered in their data center 50 miles away from where they were doing the demonstration. and they were playing it on a computer, like just a they were playing it on this little box. So you're playing it on that. So this is this little box, which is the actual hardware for it, just has an HDMI port on it, an Ethernet jack, and a controller jack.
Okay.
So it's just a one little box like this big,
mm-hmm.
and you plug it in your TV and you can play games on it.
Okay.
So they were playing Crysis on this little box because all the computing work was done over in their data center and the video was being streamed down to their television.
We can see lag happening there.
Yeah, so for some reason, the whole media have like totally gone overboard and seems to claim this is the wave of the future.
Yeah, if we all end up like Paris and I don't mean Miss Hilton, I mean Paris, the town, city in France, which has got like 50 meg speed cable.
Well, it's still so much of speed. What they do is they have standard definition stream, which requires 1.5 megabits per second of bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's well within most people's broadband, at least in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
High definition uses 4.5 megabits per second. So that's a bit borderline, but some people would be able to make use of it.
Imagine everybody using that out once.
Shut up. I'll get into it in a minute. I'm just describing what it is.
All right.
The one who's going to wail on this thing, not you.
All right.
So the high definition is only 720p, so it's already a downgrade to for me, because we're used to our 1080p stuff.
Damn right.
Yeah. So yeah, everyone's got... This is an article from the BBC about it, and they just like... They don't criticize it or anything and just say that everyone signed up, they've got Electronic Arts on board, it can play Crysis and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I think it's more of an investment scam. Because there are issues with this technology.
I think it will work fine as a demo. But when you imagine more people hammering it.
They don't say when they were demoing it at GDC what sort of connection they were doing. If it was a dedicated leased line they had rented out, or if it was just a building standard internet connection, or what. They don't say. They were playing Crysis, so Crysis requires a fair bit of computing power. And they also made the point of saying they were going to do it at 60 frames per second.
How much would you have to pay for this service? It's going to end up being like Sky but video games.
Yeah, so anyway, there's a few technological hurdles, or shall we say, physical impossibilities about it.
Yeah.
So the general rule of thumb for anything interactive is you want... you want to press a button and you want to see something on screen as fast as possible. Which is why computer games you play online, they render everything on the client while sending to the server at the same time. So, for example, nowadays, when you press your fire button in a first-person shooter, the gun will fire automatically, even though other players will see it take another 100 milliseconds or so. Because we need this instant reaction, so we know we fired. Back in the olden days, like early Quake 1 and Quake 2, you didn't have that, and you actually had the lag, and it was really hard to play. It wasn't until Valve and Half-Life that they actually had they actually really solved that, and so it didn't actually feel laggy at all. Obviously, if you shoot a dude and he's heading towards a corner, you might not have actually shot him because it's all delayed. So yeah, you really need quick response sort of time, and you're not going to get a quick response time when you've got 100 millisecond lag over to their data center. So you press your button, 100 milliseconds, that button press is registered in their data center. Their computer cluster takes the button press, inputs it, renders it, pushes it out to the screen. So let's say it takes, 50 milliseconds for the computer to actually process it, render the frame, and so on. It's probably less than that. But if we just say 50 milliseconds for their computer to do its stuff, then they have to encode the video. This is the really heavy bit, encoding the video, because if we just say their standard definition at 1.5 megabits per second, you want that video encoded as fast as possible. So you've obviously done a bit of video encoding, even live encoding, and you know there's a delay of a second or two.
Yeah.
If you do really fast, if you have dedicated hardware to compress the video, you can get that delay down to a couple of hundred milliseconds, maybe. If you use really crappy compression on it and really compress the shit out of it, you might be able to get it down to maybe 50 milliseconds. Then you've got to send that video back out to the player, and that's like a quarter of a second there.
And if you have that a quarter of a second every second, every hundredth of a
second.
All
the time, yeah.
You're going to have that lag.
What's going to happen is you're going to get people... It's not going to be feeling like you're even playing the game.
Mm.
You know, you're going to get to the point where it's so far apart that, you know, you're just going to feel...
spaced out.
Yeah, yeah. You get motion sickness because you won't... You know,
you don't connect. That's the thing. When you're a gamer and you play a video game, no matter what your input is, be it mouse and keyboard or controller, when you're good at what you're doing, that disappears. That dissolves away. You forget about the controller. It's your brain through your eyes to the screen. But then again, that will break your connection to the game. You won't be involved with the game. You won't get soaked up by the atmosphere and lose yourself in the game. It will always feel like you're just playing a really, really laggy game.
So, the other thing the company has also been talking about, so they have their dedicated, they call it a micro console, which is their little bit of kit, which is basically a fancy router, which just, you know, sends and receives information. They also have a PC client, so you could run it on a crappy netbook, and you could play Crysis on a crappy netbook with the huge lag. Let's say we solve this lag problem, and let's say we all have 1 millisecond. You've done like remote desktop and stuff like that, haven't you? You've done it on LAN, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, even on a LAN,
it gets
100 megabit per second connection with 1 millisecond latency, you know there's a delay in it.
Mm.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
So, to go out over the internet, they're on Planet Crackjob.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Even with these fast high-speed connections, you still have all the other issues. One, ISPs and bandwidth requirements. If you're pulling down 4.5 megabits per second, most people in the UK with their crappy internet providers with their crappy cap levels of like 5 gigabytes will use that up in 6 hours of gaming.
Yeah.
Or thereabouts.
A lot of them will be going, oh my god, we're using up all our bandwidth, and they will be banning people left, right, and center and saying, right, that's it for the month. You can't use any more bandwidth.
You've done your 6 hours of the internet this month. That's it.
To be honest, I think the main reason why a lot of the internet providers don't like the idea of piracy and torrenting, because it's not about the piracy and torrenting.
Not only that, BBC iPlayer. BBC iPlayer uses even less bandwidth.
Yeah. It's...
And look how much has... Look at, I mean, they were, at one point, they were asking the BBC to pay to develop their own networks. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not willing enough to give us.
The trouble is,
more.
What they've done is they've crushed broadband prices down so low that now nobody's got any money to invest in anything, like adding additional capacity to their networks.
Mm.
And they're rolling out, you know, the ADSL2 rollout is happening relatively soon. You're not going to get any faster speeds because your connection with the exchange doesn't matter now.
Mm.
Because you hit a limit, especially during peak times. All ISPs are now doing traffic shaping. You know, if you're bit torrenting, your bandwidth is squished.
Yeah.
Even if you're just doing web browsing, they will squish your bandwidth down to like, you know, 2, maybe 3 megabits per second instead of peak, and you can feel it. I mean, it doesn't happen on my connection, but if you're on I won't name any names, but ISP Catherine is with, for example, they shape BitTorrent traffic really heavily. I mean, BitTorrent is like virtually ineffective because it just goes so slow.
Mm.
And you can even notice a difference because when it goes to their off-peak hours, bang, maxes out the connection. And it's like 1 minute later, crap, and then off-peak, it goes all up. And all ISPs are doing that. And if there's a service like this, which is abusing, in quotation marks, their network as heavily as like iPlayer, they're going to go mental, and you're just not going to have, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're not going to see it happen in the UK.
The only feasible role for this sort of technology is for card games and things like that, where a delay wouldn't really matter.
Arcade.
But a card game can be played on frack anything anyway.
Yeah, why would you?
You can
want
play
that
a card game on something the size of a phone.
Yeah.
Why would you have the whole internet backend? And then, of course, the other issue: their data center. A game released nowadays could sell 1 million copies quite easily.
Mm.
Are they going to have 1 million computers set up in their data center rendering Grand Theft Auto 5 or Halo 4 or whatever?
Yeah. Crysis. Look at the people are falling over left, right, and center to get parts for their gaming rig to be able to actually make that game not lag for playing the game. Yet, imagine how many computers it would take to be able to run that for everyone. You know, they're hardly going to...
Exactly. At the moment, in data centers, all the computers do not have GPUs. So they're obviously building their own servers.
Yeah.
And when they scale that up, they're going to have a huge problem. I mean, just take YouTube, a well-financed company, and their stuff doesn't work half the time.
Yeah.
And that's even like a fraction of the bandwidth of this. See, and the latency doesn't matter with that. They just don't even have the raw bandwidth.
Look at the Virgin service that's coming out, where you stream whatever movie you want when you want it. It's not 100% there yet. You know, I don't expect...
Well, with the Virgin stuff, and it's, basically what they're doing is it's not even going out over the internet. They're doing it internally within their network.
On their because it's cable, isn't it?
They can do that because the content you want is within their network, and essentially they just have to send it to you.
Yeah.
So they have no costs of the amount of data they're sending you because they're not peering to an internet thing. Or they're not running over BT's own wholesale network.
Now, if you could get this somewhere like in maybe California or America or something like that, where you could put them in quickly and have it as a cable service... A video game cable service,
high speed cable. That would solve the bandwidth problem, but the latency would still be too high.
Yeah. I don't think the technology is there. When we get to
the point, I don't think the technology will ever be there. Essentially, what you're asking people to do is have a keyboard or a controller with a 1,000 mile lead on it.
Yeah.
And then you want a monitor with a 1,000 mile lead on it. That's basically what's going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, just look how bad Steam runs. Steam doesn't require graphics or anything like that. It just requires big farms of hard disks and CPUs.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work half the time.
Yeah.
I was trying to log in last week for about 5 hours and I couldn't get it.
I can see where they're trying to go, because at the end of the day, new games come out, hardware has to change. If it's only them that has to change the hardware and the customer doesn't have to change, everything for them stays the same. But you're right, it's not there. We're technologically
there. I wouldn't be so annoyed about it if they weren't demoing Crysis and giving all these, you know, the BBC and things like this, the idea that this can compete with a proper console.
Yeah.
With 100 millisecond lag between, you know, it rendering and putting it on the screen.
Yeah.
If that. In fact, it's probably a lot less than that.
But, you know, it... Good step in the right direction, but I don't think we're ready to go.
Yeah, if they were showing card games and simple things like that, which don't have a high frame rate, which have very few user interface things, like a card game, you click, you move the mouse, and you click and you drag, for example. You feel no latency from that, other than the card takes a while to move over.
Yeah.
If you're in a first-person shooter, you're constantly looking around.
Yeah,
it would. You know, you're going to feel like you're going to just puke up.
It'd be like first-person shooters on dial-up again.
Well, even worse, because not only are the players delayed in the game, the whole game is delayed.
Yeah. I'm expecting that this technology...
This is a scam to try and get investors, because, I mean, the only reason they would try and show Crysis on it is to try and show everyone, look, we can really do this, this is real, when it's just vaporware. They can do little games on it, but bollocks can they do anything high-end, which requires a good frame rate. They even said they could do it at 60 frames per second. Bullshit, can you? The compression on that video feed they're sending you would be so low, it'll be like looking at wallpaper. This is supposed to be Crysis, and it's blank wallpaper.
See, I'm expecting that this is the sort of thing that they should be implementing when we get to the sort of day when you're watching Sky, and it's like, oh, Simpsons is on. Oh, I've seen this one. So you click on the episode, and then you hit a drop-down, and it shows you every episode before and after. And they just happen to be, or it's a brand new episode, and you can see every episode afterwards, and you go and watch that one, and it starts playing.
Yeah, but even that assumes the bandwidth problem is solved. But see, there's two problems to this. There's a latency and a bandwidth. For video, you don't have to worry about latency because it's just a video; you're just watching it.
Yeah.
This you're having your controller input.
You're going there and back.
Exactly.
And there and back with everyone else.
Yeah.
And then you've got everyone else, so you've got to service everyone else. So if you're running the computer for that one person, then does that say that hardware power is just being used for that one person? You're going to have another set for another person? Or you're going to have super big computers that are rendering Crysis for 100 people, and then another one's doing another 100 people.
What you do is you wouldn't have big computers like that because they'd be too expensive. What you do is have a high-end PC, run Crysis on that. So when someone actually wants to run Crysis, you'd have a high-end PC dedicated to them. If they're just doing something goofy like a card game, you can put 1,000 people on one machine.
Yeah. That's
although, even saying that, no, they couldn't even put 1,000 on it because you have to do the video encoding.
That's
and the video encoding, I mean, they're rendering a game and they're encoding it as video.
Why have I got visions of seeing warehouses, like something out of a science fiction movie, and it's just warehouses full and full of like these machines all hooked up, just providing this service? It's just kind of like...
No, see, I mean, like, look, this is why I think it's an investment scam. They're demoing this technology. There were quite a few things unclear in the demo at GDC, like what sort of network are you actually running this over? Then there's the scale issue, the latency and the bandwidth. So what they're trying to do is get investors. Look, investors would solve the scalability problem for us because we can just have these big server farms. Fair enough. But the server farms required would be humongous. You need far more computers per user than you would for any other internet thing anyway. Even if you just take YouTube, that's just a regular HTTP file download. They don't even have any proper media streaming or anything.
At the end of the day, this is remote desktop for gaming.
Yeah. And we know how badly remote desktop works. I use it every day.
See, myself, I'm more impressed with Quake Live. With the playing Quake in a browser. I'm more impressed with that.
Yeah, so anyway, let me just say, this company is obviously trying to get bought out by someone. EA, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo. They're trying to pitch them, look, we can do all this, blah, 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 buy us out.
Yeah.
And then 5 years' time, the service is released and you can play card games on it.
Yeah. They wanted the technology, the idea and the technology to be bought out, and then they run off with the money and let them do all the hard work.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we've got a long time to go. I think...
It just bugs me about the attention they've got in the press. It's just so uncritical of it. Yeah. It's like they haven't asked one person who knows anything about networks, how feasible is this? They've just taken everything and swallowed it.
At the end of the day, we have already proven what the next technology... for gaming is
what
clouds and the lack of buying media with a lot. It's not there yet, but it's shown what the next step could be, is the whole not buying the disc, you just download it. Like, I've just got the new Grand Theft Auto game, I downloaded it off
fair
the cloud
enough, but it still runs locally.
Yeah, exactly, it's all on your console. But maybe now we're going to get rid of the discs. We might not get rid of the discs, but the option is there. And it all depends if people go, actually, I'll prefer that option. If everyone starts preferring the option, they'll get rid of the disc.
And then Steam go bust, and everyone, no, my games.
But, you know, if they don't, then it'll just always be an option. But this isn't not an option. It is just is what we could do. Please give me money.
I really thought what you said a bit earlier on about how this would be like the sky of games, where you're paying 50 quid a month to play a game, and you could buy a piece of hardware which does the same thing. For 200 quid.
Yeah. It does feel like the Sky service for video gaming.
Because it would be expensive because if it did take off, ISPs would throttle the bandwidth and they would be forced to pay those ISPs money. Because there's no way ISPs
would have to have it. Maybe they would have to provide their own ISP for the service.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It could end up like the point of, if someone took it over, they actually went, actually no, we'll create this and it will be cable TV plus this. And we'll put your broadband through it as well. So when you're not playing video games, you can hook up a PC and get your internet. But the whole concept is around this box to play video games. But again, that the latency is always going to be... They're pushing the idea that you could just buy this box, a controller, and it's plug and play. Plug it into your internet, and away you go. You sign up for the service. But... yeah.
Aye.
But, you know, fair enough, we've got to the day where, you know, you can go onto YouTube and rent a movie, and while it's started downloading, you can click play now, and as the movie is downloading for you to rent, you're watching it. You know, we've got to that stage, but I don't think we're there yet for this.
Here we go. This is one of the quotes from one chap who works for OnLive. What we have is something absolutely incredible. You should be skeptical. My first thinking was this shouldn't work, but it does. That's the same. If you, all you'd have to do is put in the word homeopathy or ESP, and it'll be the same thing. ESP is something that is absolutely incredible. You should be skeptical. My first thinking was, this shouldn't work, but it does. I mean, this is what it is. They're on Planet Crackpot. You know, if they were just saying, look, you can just play your little card games and that's it. But no, Demo in Crisis and Lego Batman. Planet Nutjob.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Not with the state of networks are now. And even when you have super fast networks equivalent to a LAN, you're still not going to have the speed to do it.
Fair enough, you could play a high-end graphics game, save argument's sake, like... I can't think what it's called, so I am going to have to...
Empire Total War.
Well, yeah, I was thinking Civilization.
Civilization.
Turn-based. Anything that's turn-based.
Yeah, you could do that.
But, yeah.
I mean, turn-based games like that, where you don't have a lot of movement on the screen, the controller's relative... Here we go. See, my internet connection just dropped a couple of minutes ago. You know, internet connection is not reliable enough. You don't want to be playing a game and then suddenly the connection dies and it reconnects a minute later and then you're dead.
Yeah, but look at it this way. When you're playing a game online, if it disconnects, it's like when I'm playing WoW, I got disconnected from the server, but my computer was still playing the game and I climbed out of the water and it kept saying, I'm still underwater. And I was like, but I'm out of the water. But it wasn't. My character was still in there, and he drowned because I wasn't giving any input from my computer.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about a minute ago, where the client will process your key inputs automatically. So it looks like you're out of the water. We're on the server, which is what counts. You're still in the water.
But if you're saying it's just a controller and a monitor, and there is no processing for generating those graphics happening there, it's all happening far away, then if you get any sort of...
any hiccup and the video stops and that's it.
I imagine it'll probably just disappear.
It'll just stop.
Black screen and...
Buffering. And then it buffers the controller as well. Buffering. And then it's spinning there for half an hour.
Ugh, no thank you. No thank you.
Yeah.
Might be a way to get kids to stop playing video games, but no.
No, I don't like the whole way they sold it. I don't like it.
No.
It's dishonest. Oh my god, is the connection gone down again?
Paul has lost his internet.
This is what I'm saying. This proves my point exactly. Oh no, it just resynced. It synced to a higher speed. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, the internet is not reliable enough for it. The internet is buckling under the strain already.
Mm.
You can feel it. You know, if you're on a good day, bang, pages load instantly. But if you've got more than 6 people on the internet, it's chug-a-rama. Obviously, I'm exaggerating slightly, but you get the idea.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Maybe 600 million, too many, and it all starts to buckle on certain time periods of day.
I mean, just take what iPlayer's usage is. iPlayer accounts for 30% of the UK's bandwidth.
Mm. Luckily, it's only applicable to UK.
Yeah.
I've tried going on BBC iPlayer outside, and straight away it just locks on the main page and comes up with the new... page saying you're on an ISP that is not in the United Kingdom. You have no access to this page.
Yeah, don't be a bad boy. Pay your license fee.
It's because I was on a free Wi-Fi in a bar in Andorra on my iPhone, trying to see if I could actually watch an old episode or something.
You're not allowed.
No.
Bad Adam. Who knows what you could be doing with that feed? You might be trying to like show it to everyone in Andorra.
Yeah.
And then the BBC would have to charge them money.
Yeah, considering they were all from England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I write a letter to the BBC saying, look, I pay my goddamn license fee. I should access this wherever I've ever been want.
Mm.
And then we all have login accounts for the BBC. Great. I suppose it's better than having a login account for Sky, because then it goes wrong after 5 minutes.
Well, you know, Sky have got their own player, don't you?
Yeah, Sky, ITV channel. No, Channel 4 don't yet, do they?
No.
ITV does.
Now, Sarah's dad logged us into his because he doesn't use it. And if there's something he wants to watch, he doesn't need to go re-watching it on the player because he's got Sky Plus, so it all saves on his hard drive.
Until his hard drive fails, and of course he's got no way to back that data up. But yeah. Carry on.
So he let us have his log on so we can watch Free Sky, but it only goes to one computer. So it's on Sarah's laptop.
You're kidding.
Yeah, yeah, it's that bad. We went onto it, and there's all these different icons, and you realise... If you click on one wrong icon, it'll actually charge you to watch that episode. Dude, there are actually only certain episodes that are free.
Wait, did I just get this right?
Yeah, one computer you register it to.
So they're enforcing this with DRM?
Something like that.
Oh my god. What the frack?
We had to... We had to download this player that went
You had
on.
To download a specific player for it as well?
Yeah.
What the frack?
It's like a mod thing that allows you to go onto the website and then it all comes through the website sort of thing. Yeah. Trust me. Right, you know how you are about these things and I'm not that bad.
I am absolutely militant over fucking junkware bollocks when I've got Windows Media Player there or VLC, which are two perfectly good, respectable media players that will be able to play it without your bollocks.
Now...
Especially because your bollocks like QuickTime has 10,000 fucking security vulnerabilities. Urge to kill rising.
Yeah, now that's how I felt when I tried to use it. And Sarah's dad was just showing me how to use it. So I was like, yep, just calm down.
Calm down, just play the thing.
So
then, of course, something goes wrong with it. Because something always goes wrong with stuff like this.
So I watched an episode of Futurama.
It's like trying to install a real player.
Yeah.
It's a disaster waiting to happen.
So I went to watch something new, and I was like, oh. £2 something for that. So it's already been on Sky, but I've got to pay.
I'm a Sky subscriber.
So it gets charged to your Sky account.
Oh, God.
And I was just kind of like, So you want to charge to play Way from Skybox? Yeah, so I just turned it off and I was like, yeah.
See, this is why I like Windows Media Center. Or any other equivalent PC, thing.
Yeah, look at the service for BBC
iPlayer, it's good.
I think it's the best one out there.
Oh, definitely. That's why everyone's so pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Windows Media Center, my computer records whatever I want. At the moment, it's hooked up to Freeview, but some of them support free satellite as well and things like that. Or you could actually manually hook it in via analog for Sky and re-encode it on your computer, but you need a dedicated bit of card in there for that. Or watch as your CPU usage goes up. But no, it just copies the MPEG-2 off the air onto your hard drive. Granted, Windows Media Center puts it in a wrapper format so it can have metadata and all the server fancy stuff. But it's just a file. You can copy it wherever you want and play it on whatever you want. I can copy it over to my phone. I can re-encode it to something else and this and that.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Sky, you record something on Sky or any one of these other set-top boxes, it's stuck on there forever.
Yeah.
Which means you end up having to delete it as you gradually run out of space.
I don't know. I'm not even sure if they actually encode... It's so that it won't be recordable. Can you record it onto anything, like a recordable DVD player or VHS?
Well, the trouble is, if you do it digitally, you encounter copy protection.
Yeah, because that was the thing.
Even with DVDs, you would get a green screen.
Yeah, because I remember. Time I ever came across it was when we went across from Sky Analog to Sky Digital, and my mum let me watch a box office. It was for Fifth Element.
Oh yeah, they copy protect those.
So my mum went through the whole thing trying to do the dial thing, and it cost us money trying to dial up Sky to pay for it and put in the card and all this. It was before you had the red button, press it and it got charged to your account. It was before that. And got the service, sat there, watched the entire film, walked away and missed bits of it to go and get something to eat. Come back thinking, doesn't matter, I'm recording it because I paid for it. Went back all the way through the tape of the whole recording. And that was the last time I've ever used box office service. And I was just kind of like...
Exactly.
But yeah.
Mm. Right, let's just put this thing in the show notes. Rupert Murdoch sucks. I think that's how you spell his name, isn't it?
Yeah. Something like that.
I might as well. I'll just put in Robert Murdo. Yeah, that's the bloke. Look at him. Dodgy bastard.
But
when the revolution comes, comrade, he in jail. He tore underground sugar cave.
He'd be slingshot to the moon.
But yeah, it's just annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although actually, saying that, what I said about Media Center, I think some channels in the US have a copy protection flag as well, and Media Center don't work on them. But for the UK, no, I don't think anyone does that. Or if they do that, Media Center doesn't pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
Because obviously, your video player, if it didn't recognize that COD protection, it would work fine.
It's like having region lock on DVDs.
Yeah.
You can region lock whatever you want on the DVD disc, but if your player doesn't
read them,
because at the end of the day, it puts a firewall technically up and says, "What's your password?" And the DVD goes 0. Oh, come on in. You put in another one. Region 1. Oh, no, our code is region 2. Bugger off. Where if there's no wall there, it'll just go.
That isn't how it works. It doesn't have little people in there talking to each other.
That's how I explained it to someone who didn't get it. I was explaining it to my mum because I region locked her.
This is how I would explain it. This disc will only work in European players. This is a European player. It won't work.
You know how my mind works. Everything's an image.
Everything has these little people running.
On a gate.
Oh dear.
Yay fun.
Well, I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to do a shout out to Ian Spearing, who didn't turn up tonight.
Yeah.
Even after I specifically invited him onto the show.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, but then maybe Chris will be here next week. They can't both be here.
We have 4 people.
No, we don't have enough chairs.
Someone have to sit on bed.
Yeah, and then
to have stew when we had them sat over there.
Then this is what they sound like. You can barely hear them.
We'll take in turns to sit in the hot seat.
Yeah, then it's one person talking at a time, and it means I can't interrupt or do the echo.
Oh, you'll always be sat there for. We'll swap in this hot seat.
Not in that one. That's too noisy, boy.
Sounds like a boat. It's
it in.
See, I have this chair at work. And I got rid of it. And I managed to get this new chair. Now, you know there's air inside the piston. Or whatever it is. I presume it is air. The up and down. Now, I would have mine all the way up to the top. And sometimes I sit on it. And all it's done is leaked out the air. But it's the pressure. It's still got the seat is up. When you sit on it, it just goes... And you bang, you'll hit the bottom.
Yeah, mine does that sometimes.
Now, I went to answer the phone really quickly. Sat on the seat, twiddled around like that. But I sat down so hard, I completely forgot that the air would have been released by now because I've been away from my desk for a long period of time. It shot all the way down to the button. I heard a crunch. Straight away, I thought the special patented buckles I have on my really cool motorbike rucksack. I thought I'd broken one of those. So I lean over to see, oh my God, I've broken my rucksack. And I've seen that I'm missing a wheel. Boom, over I go, fall out of my chair. And Matt, I turn around to Matt, and Matt is holding the wheel, and it shot at him and hit him as it came off so hard when I sat on it. And now I'm back to the old office chair that's still jammed by the scanner.
Back in the older days, chairs were made out of wood. They didn't have wheels or anything fancy, they were just wood.
I wish I could buy my own office chair for work, because the one I've got now is just hurting my back. It's awful.
Well, if it's hurting your back, tell them they're legally required.
Yeah, I'm gonna have word with my boss this week and say that it's starting to do my back. But she'll just say use one of the other chairs, but...
Well, just tell her, look, the chair is doing my back in, and I can't work in these conditions. So I'm either going to need 6 months off sick from sitting in this chair, or I'm going to need a new chair. Take your pick.
Yeah,
Please say six months off work.
If I could get the one I have at home, it's brilliant, because it's got one button that makes it go up and down, but if you pull it out sideways, it unlocks part of it, and the whole chair hinges back so you can put your feet up on something. Really cool.
It's got like a sliding...
So the whole pivot will pivot. So if that's the seat and there's the back, the whole and it's sat on there, the whole thing will just do this.
Oh yeah.
But as soon as you put your feet in a certain position, it will just swing back again. It counterbalances. So there's no way of you going, oh my God, I'm falling over. It's the ultimate game chair. That's what I'm saying when I'm playing World of Warcraft.
It's going on the show notes. Adam likes fancy chairs.
Yeah, it's cool.
Right, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
You can send us feedback by emailing us at feedback@gamercast.net. Better yet, you can post on the blog at gamercast.net. For all those iTunes people who apparently missed last week's episode, it does exist on our website at gamercast.net. P.S. Apple, you suck.
If we are echoey, actually tell us... Maybe.
No, dude, the echoey was me repeating what you were saying.
Was it?
Yeah, that's what he meant.
Oh, right. I thought we do have a problem and we need to sort it out.
No. It was last week I was like doing it all the time one night.
Yeah, true. That was a week ago. My brain can't...
It's just me, mate.
My brain can't...
This microphone is high-end. And my room has good good sound...
Acoustics.
Acoustics thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you free next Sunday?
Yes, I am.
Next Sunday is the 5th, and we'll be back then.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we could get a representative from OnLive to discuss this product. And while we're at it, the next week, we can get some homeopathy.
You want to see if they've got a website?
They do. I've been on their website.
Really showing much, or is it
Well, no, they don't really show anything. It just seems to be a... Okay, let's keep the show going. OnLive, the future of video games. I'm not going to play the video. Actually, let's just quickly play the video. A new generation of gaming has arrived!
Looks like the Matrix will lose to you.
OnLive is games on demand. Top titles instantly, with no downloads or installs. What's that, Need for Speed?
Straight away, do you know what this reminds me of? When the PlayStation 2 came out and they were showing all the cool things you'd be able to do with it, and then it never did it. Remember?
Yeah.
With you, you plug in all this and you do this, it comes to USB ports and it will be all blah, 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 and this, that, and the other, and it never, ever did it. Yeah, that kind of says it all. It is just a website that's got videos on.
It is
partners,
a website.
Media,
I mean,
sign up to the bait.
Exactly, it's got videos of the games, but there's no demonstrations of it. And like I said, the GDC demo.
There's a beta. I bet
that,
it's one of those things that...
Yeah. Oh, well, the beta is coming winter 2009, apparently.
Yeah. So they may send you a box and get you to use up all of your bandwidth for the power of... Yeah, right.
For the power of... For the power of Uda, Darth Uda.
The power of the wind. Yeah, I'm not impressed with it.
Are you done? Definitely?
I'm done.
Done? You're not going to raise anything else before I hit the stop button?
No.
Good. We'll be back next week on episode 151, where we'll talk about a bunch of other stuff, maybe.
Yes, maybe.